Even though the phrase cute animal video goes viral makes me nauseated, I can't help but love the video of a baby seal otter swimming and playing in the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago. If you haven't seen it, just go online. It's everywhere. And the little critter made another splash this week on ABC's Good Morning America, where she received her name.
Luna!
Yay!
Oh, that's a perfect name.
That's a good name.
Yeah.
Today, there are just under 3,000 southern sea otters in the wild, a quarter of what their population was 150 years ago. But researchers are now saying that conservation isn't just for the sea otters. James Delahousie reports that in Central California, sea otters are affecting all of us.
On the roof of the Monterey Bay Aquarium, in a large plastic tank, sea otter mother Abby floats with her adopted pup, known as 671. Today, 671 needs to be weighed, which means separating her from her mother. Abby is not happy. For up to 9 months, Abby will raise her little adoptee, and when 671 is ready, she'll be released into a protected inland salt marsh called Elkhorn Slough. And that's where Tim Tinker does his work, tracking otters for the U.S. Geological Survey.
The reason we focus on sea otters is not just because they're cute and fun to watch, but because they have a very sort of outsized role to play in the functioning of the system.
Take Elkhorn Slough. It's a protected habitat now, but 20 years ago, there were no sea otters here, and the marsh was a mess. Farmland runoff regularly pours into this estuary, loading it with man-made nutrients.
It's sort of just like throwing a bunch of fertilizer in here, you're going to get a whole bunch of algae growing, and that algae grows over top of the eelgrass and chokes it out.
This eelgrass was the home to an entire food chain of animals, or it was until all the algae. Bugs would normally keep the algae in check, but with no sea otters around, their favorite food, the crabs, ate all the bugs. And there are lots and lots of crabs.
Within the marsh banks itself, there's all these holes, right? And those are the crab condos. That's where they live.
They're called crab condos?
That's what I call them.
Brent Hughes is a researcher at the University of California, Santa Cruz. He says there were so many crab condos, the muddy banks couldn't support themselves.
This ecosystem's literally collapsing into the ocean. And so the reason being is because we're losing the banks and we're losing the marsh plants that are stabilizing it.
And all this upheaval affects another animal, humans. Habitats like Elkhorn serve all sorts of ecological benefits. Fishermen benefit from natural fish nurseries. Homes benefit from a natural barrier to storms and sea rise. And the planet benefits from the carbon dioxide that marshland plants soak up. That's where the sea otters come in. Under decades of government protection, they're back and eating the crabs. That means the algae is down, the seagrass is up, and with crab condo vacancies, the muddy marshland banks are still here. Ecologist Tim Tinker says even he was surprised by the turnaround.
And all of a sudden, they teach us this entire new thing about how there's a food web that sea otters are part of that can actually make seagrass healthy, even when there's nutrients. And this was something we had no clue about.
As Tinker drives back to the aquarium, he says that the philosophy behind sea otter conservation is changing.
We really need them. They're saving us. They're saving ecosystems that we rely on. So it's a different sort of message than the one that we started out with 15 years ago.
It's not about saving individual species, as cute as they are. It's about saving entire ecosystems. And for that, he says, we need the sea otter. For NPR News, I'm James Delahousie.